And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Santa Barbara and Ventura Counties. Every show has a theme, and our theme in the second hour is outside influences. Each of my guests is talking about the impact of outside influences on themselves or an institution. My first guest is an actress best known for her role as Erin Walton on the hit TV series The Waltons. We discuss the outside influences that shaped her life and how she resiliently overcome setbacks in her life from her memoir, Lessons from the Mountain. My next guest is perfect for brainstorming with Billy the Brain. She's a creativity expert who specializes in spontaneous combustion. She'll help us to get our creative juices flowing by sparking our right brain thinking. We'll discuss her book, Street Smart Advertising. And as always, if you want to join in the conversation, you can call us at 639-0008. Margot Berman is an award-winning advertising marketer and professor, as well as a Kauffman faculty scholar at Florida International University, where she teaches creative courses in advertising and public relations. Margot was named the 2005 Kauffman faculty scholar. Margot has been a marketing consultant for 20 years, and she's had her own ad and PR agency called Global Impact for more than 17 years. She's produced and hosted an interview talk show in Miami called Artists About Themselves. She's the creator of two very specific business tools, Tactic Pack and Mental Peanut Butter. Margot is the author of Street Smart Advertising, How to Win the Battle of the Buzz. Welcome to the show, Margot. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. Thanks.
Well, thank you for being our guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. So many of us, this is a really tough time of the year. We're entering into a time where we're totally focused on execution, and we have very little time for creative thinking. You know, the first quarter's come and gone. Some of our plans may not be working out as well as we'd like. So you've got a method for innovation and creative thinking that I like. Teach us about the time compression method and future thinking.
Are you good in math, or do you have a calculator handy?
I have a calculator handy.
Okay. How many seconds in a minute?
60.
Okay. How many minutes in an hour?
60.
How many seconds in an hour?
3,600.
How many seconds in a day?
Oh, now I don't have my calculator. Is my brain, and it doesn't go that high. How many seconds?
Let's go to 10 hours.
What's that?
How about 10 hours?
All right, that's 36,000.
Okay, so in one working day, because most people are working more than 8 hours, you have 36,000 seconds in a day.
That's right.
Would you rather have 36,000 seconds or 10 hours? What sounds bigger in your brain?
It's a pound of feathers or a pound of lead. They're both a pound.
But doesn't 36,000 of anything sound better than 10 of something?
I suppose, sure.
Well, your subconscious hears that number, 36,000 seconds. I've got plenty of time. Because if you look at it in seconds instead of hours, suddenly you've given yourself subconsciously tons of stuff, tons of time. You don't have 1 hour or 2 hours. You have, instead of 60 seconds or 60 minutes, you keep multiplying it. So you have 3,600 seconds in an hour. In 2 hours, you got 7,200 seconds. That's an awful lot.
Yes.
So you start to think to yourself subconsciously, wow, that's a lot of time. And you relax by tricking your brain, because the subconscious doesn't know the difference between truth or falseness. So if it's true or false, your subconscious doesn't know. It just hears the fact. So that's why when people say I'm fat, they believe it, because the subconscious takes it in as truth. So if you say to yourself, I got 36,000 seconds, you're good to go.
Okay.
You're just, okay, I'm much better than I was with 10 hours.
All right.
So that's time compression.
All right. Now, that's interesting.
Really, when you're in a real crunch and you have like an hour to do something, tell yourself you have 3,600 seconds and you start to feel better.
It sort of takes the pressure off. All
it
right.
Does.
And so how does that work into creative thinking? If we look at that time compression that you're talking about, thinking about it in terms of creative thinking, how can we use that to our advantage to spark our creative juices?
Well, the first thing you find is when you're very creative, you're relaxed. I want you to think about kids in a playground. Do they look stressed?
Not at all.
Okay, you give a kid a box, and what does the kid do with the box?
Oh, any number of things. It's a car, it's an airplane, it's a hat.
Right.
I mean,
but the toy the box came in gets thrown, put aside in an hour. But the box could be anything. And that's why when you shift your thinking from seconds to minutes and you become less linear, your mind relaxes. The more you're in a state of play, the more creative you're thinking. That's why a kid can look at a box and see 8 million things if he's not restricted by the toy that came in the box, and this is what you do with the toy. Instead, he can take the box and make it anything he wants or she wants.
Well, now, just a side note here, as we're talking about the creativity flow for children, do you think that electronic toys are inhibiting or encouraging creative thinking among children?
Well, it depends on what they're doing with them. Some of the digital products out today allow kids to write their own books. They can create their own ending. They can compile stories and write a whole little storybook about themselves. So that way, things can be very, very creative. There's a lot of interactivity. So if you go to sites where the kids can paint or draw or color in the lines or finish an image, that's very creative.
All right. We're talking to Margot Berman, everybody, author of the book Street Smart Advertising, How to Win the Battle of the Buzz. And Margot, you've got some great ideas for getting the creative juices flowing. One of the things that I noted from your work that I liked very much, and it's a useful tool that our listeners can put immediately to work, it's called the deadline extender trick. Tell us, what is the deadline extender trick and how does it work?
Okay. We all have deadlines. So you have, let's say, a client, and the client says, I need this by Wednesday. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But you need till Friday. So you say to the client, well, it'll be wonderful on Wednesday. I mean, not a problem. It'll be wonderful on Wednesday because I always do great work. But it'll be fabulous on Friday. But it's your choice. I'll do wonderful on Wednesday, and it's how you emphasize it. So if you need Monday, you know, Monday is marvelous, you know, and Tuesday is terrific, and you just raise the excitement level. But it won't cost you anymore. I'm going to work two more days on it till Friday. But, you know, I'll do wonderful, but you could have fantastic.
All right. Now, that works great in a situation where you've got a client and some sort of service provider. But what happens if you've got a demanding boss who says, okay, your deadline is I need this by end of business today?
Okay, end of business today. And you ask yourself, how good a job can I do by the end of today? Is it acceptable or wonderful? And you know what? Any boss who's paying you to do the work, and you say to them, I can finish the job today, I can finish this assignment today, but if I had till tomorrow morning or till noon, it'd be more thorough, more comprehensive, more complete. But I can give you something today, not a problem.
All right.
Most people want better.
And that's what you're playing on, the fact that most people want better.
Everybody wants, if you can have average or you could have great, which would you choose?
I would always choose great.
And it doesn't cost you any more.
Right.
And then, you know what you find normally when people give you a deadline? It sits on someone's desk for 2 days. No, I love that laugh. Tell me that isn't the truth.
Yeah. I've seen it happen far too often.
Yeah. Did you get a look at this? And they go, I haven't seen it yet. But they pressed you, and you know you had better ideas if you had a little more time to think about it. It's what I like to call mental marination.
Mental marination. We're talking to Margot Berman, author of Street Smart Advertising. Some great ideas there. Margot, another technique that you've got for creative thinking that I enjoyed very much, it's called the SCAMPER technique, where SCAMPER is an acronym. Take us through the SCAMPER acronym, and then I want to apply it to some everyday products that we all know and love.
Okay. The SCAMPER principle is you look at the letters SCAMPER. It spells out SCAMPER. And you say, what does each letter represent? Okay, every time you go to solve a problem or create a new product or think of another alternative idea, you'll be using probably one of these letters to solve the problem. The first letter is S. That letter represents substitute. So I don't see anything creative in substitute. Well, start thinking about when you have a product and you want to change the product to something else. You want to substitute one thing for the other. Okay, sugar. Oh, now you can't have sugar. Sugar is bad for you. All right, sweet and low. Uh-oh, sweet and low gives you cancer. Okay, quick, let's shift to Splenda. Oh, yeah, Splenda is good, but before that there was Equal, which is supposed to affect your brain processes.
Right.
And then the last thing they have is Splenda, which is sort of kind of like sugar, but it's not a sugar, and it goes on and on and on. Each one of those derivative type of substitute of a sweetener changes from one to the next, and really all it does is substitute one sweetener for another, and that's the principle of substitute. But how did they come up with each one? There was a problem with the one before it.
Makes sense. All right, then that brings us to C in SCAMPER.
Yeah, C is combine. Okay, think of a truck, a delivery truck. Think of a car. Well, A lot of families had a lot of equipment. They had soccer kids, kids going to baseball, basketball, softball, and a lot of kids on teams. And so they combined a delivery truck and a car, and you got a minivan. And it became one of the most popular items products because it solved the problem. A lot of stuff in not a lot of space. But it's got to be transported in a comfortable way. So you wouldn't think of a car and a truck, but putting them together, you really end up with a minivan.
And, in fact, the minivan is what saved Chrysler from bankruptcy when we bailed them out the first time. So that's a great example.
It's a very simple example. When you think about how to fix something, sometimes you have the two elements. All you do is put them together. For example, you might have two opposing teams. You have two teams working on a problem, but they don't get along well. Put them together. Sometimes clashing creates a wonderful solution because they're fighting to find the best answer. So you're combining, you can be combining two adversaries.
All right, so C can stand for combine, but yes. I guess it can also stand for clash. Isn't that example that
you
just gave?
Well, you could say that, yes.
All right. SCAMPER is the acronym. What does the A stand for, Margo, and SCAMPER?
It's add, A-D-D, to add something. So if you think back at tissues and you ever had a really, really terrible cold and you kept sneezing and practically rubbing your nose sore, Puffs came up with the idea of adding aloe to the tissue. So when you rub your nose 8 million times a day with that cold, you don't rub half your skin off. So they added aloe.
All right. We're talking to Margo Berman. Margo, what does the M stand for in the SCAMPER?
M is to modify or magnify. So if you take something and you shift it slightly to modify it, can you think of something that got modified or magnified in a product that you use or something you can think about? Does anything hit you on something you modify?
Well, on modify, I think about Costco and the giant quantities that they make you buy in order to get the smaller price.
Exactly. Or just the reverse. When you think of all the cookies and now they have 100-calorie cookie packs, you pay more for less, but you're controlling your calories. Perfect example.
Mm-hmm.
Costco, you buy in bulk. And in the opposite, you're paying more for less.
There you go.
But you modified the packaging, and it became a huge hit because everybody's so conscious about their weight that you'd rather have a tiny, tiny package, but you know you're safe because it's only 100 calories.
All right. We're talking to Margo Berman. Margo, what does the P stand for in your acronym SCAMPER?
Put to other uses. You put something to other uses. Think of baking soda.
Yes.
Originally, baking soda was, you know, to help bake products and give them some rise when they were in the oven. And then they said, oh, well, it's really great when you put it with toothpaste, which was used for many, many years ago. Baking soda and hydrogen peroxide is something that helps your gums heal if you had oral surgery. And then they said, well, why don't you put it in the refrigerator because it absorbs odor? And now it's back to being in your toothpaste. So you take something, you put it to other uses. It's the same product used differently.
And just so that you know, Arm & Hammer, the company that manufactures Arm & Hammer now, no longer lists baking soda in their annual report as one of the uses of baking soda. So,
because it's for so many other things. Even look at your cell phone. What does your cell phone do now?
Well, my cell phone is actually a small computer. Probably has more computing power than Apollo 11 did.
Right. You put it to other uses,
yep.
And you also modified it.
Yep.
So
all
sometimes it's a combination of these different techniques.
Good. Now, what does the E and the R stand for in your acronym SCAMPER?
The E is to eliminate. So if you look at a donut, the original problem with donuts was that they didn't cook in the middle. So the guy who thought about the donuts put his hand in and ripped out the middle of the donut, which are now called munchkins, and he cooked the donut, and all of a sudden it fried and it cooked all the way through. So he eliminated the center of the donut in order to solve the problem of it not cooking thoroughly. And now they take the donut middle and they sell that. So they put that to other uses.
I love it. So the E is elimination, and what does the R stand for?
To rearrange or to reverse. So you had mentioned Costco. When you think about supermarkets, and you go back, 10, 20 years ago, before they had pet supermarkets, they just had regular supermarkets, and you bought your pet food there, and you bought your toys for your dog there or cat there. Now there are pet stores that are supermarkets where your pet can go shopping. So you take the pet with you, and all of a sudden you've rearranged and reversed whatever you're supposed to do with a supermarket. You rearranged it and changed it to the point where now you can take your pet there, and it's a totally different store. It's rearranged by products that are for pets only.
All right, so that's...
People go there with their pets.
Now, that's interesting. We're listening to Margot Berman, who is the author of Street Smart Advertising, How to Win the Battle of the Buzz. And so, Margot, you've laid out the scamper technique. Now, I'd like you to apply that to some of the common ordinary products that we'd think of all the time. And I'm going to start with one that everybody uses, the rubber band. How did the scamper system affect the rubber band?
Well, the rubber band was born because it was discarded pieces of tire. And they were throwing these pieces of rubber away. As you know, tires are cylindrical. And they realized that some of these rubber pieces could be used to hold things together if they had a little weaker. It wasn't as strong as a tire is. And so they took the tire trimmings and started thinking about other uses, and that became rubber bands.
All right.
That was the original source of rubber bands.
Very interesting story. Now I'm going to talk about a piece of technology whose day has sort of come and gone. That is fax machines.
Faxes, right. Well, faxes, if you think back, substituted for someone having something delivered. So you didn't need a delivery company to deliver the product anymore or the package or the letter. You could fax it over. So it simplified by substituting one for the other. Well, along came the computer. And now you don't have to fax it. You can email it. Or you can text it to somebody. Or you could, you know, send it as a mobile message. One thing has replaced another. So that became something that was eliminated. The fax became, but you still get faxes, but less frequently.
Very, very infrequently.
Became eliminated.
Very infrequently. We've been talking to Margot Berman, everybody, author of the book, Street Smart Advertising, How to Win the Battle of the Buzz. Margot, if people are intrigued by your stories, they like your scamper system, they want to learn more, where would you direct them to go on the internet?
Amazon carries it. Barnes & Noble carries. I have two books out, carries both. My third one's coming out in a couple of months. And some of these principles, there are certain techniques that are in the books and some are not. So these are techniques that I do when I do corporate training, and you will not necessarily find all of these. You might find some different types of creative thinking there. How to develop slogans and headlines would be more relevant if you're developing materials for your advertising.
All right, great. And Margot, just for the record, what is the title of your second book?
The Brains Behind Great Ad Campaigns.
And you know I had to ask you because you're on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Any book that has brains in the title has to be good. Margot, thank you so much for being our special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks so much for having me.